Last Word on Today FM.
Carl Thomas is away for a couple of weeks. He's actually visiting Vietnam, which means he's not in our time zone, or not at his time zone is so removed from ours, he'd be up in the middle of the night if he was trying to talk to us. So we don't have Cal for a couple of weeks, but we're delighted, though, that Larry Donnelly is joining with Marion McKeown for our weekly American Spot. And Larry, I'll start with you, maybe. Do you think, do Jewish people in the United States of America, are they correct to be scared by an apparent rise in anti-Semitism?
Well, I can't get inside their mindset, but certainly there have been a number of chilling incidents lately, whether at Governor Josh Shapiro's home or in Washington, D.C., where two people were tragically killed, and now most recently where this madman built Molotov cocktails and threw them around, and obviously, from all accounts, has premeditated this for some time and expressed absolutely no remorse for his actions, which injured a number of people. I know some are still in hospital. We hope and pray that nobody is killed. But among those was a Holocaust survivor. So, yes, there are some people who regrettably, at every level, seem that the idea of free Palestine evidently means that they have to take violent actions against Jews in the United States. And obviously, these people are sick. But the one thing that needs to be said is that the cause of the Palestinian people already doesn't have the same attraction in the United States or the same number behind it in the United States as it does in Western Europe. But they are doing untold damage to the cause or to any sympathies that might have been growing for Palestinians in the United States through their actions. And there is a right-wing blowback that we are seeing very much. For instance, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, on seeing a picture of Greta Thunberg, who's out at sea participating in a protest against Israel's actions, his comment was, "I hope Greta can swim." So expect ugly sentiments like that to grow. So they're doing the cause absolutely no good in the U.S.
Okay, Marion McKeown, what do you think? Do you think Jewish people in the United States, are they correct to be scared by an apparent rise in anti-Semitism? Something they say that is particularly obvious in third-level institutions, the universities that Trump is now looking to defund.
Yeah, I think there are two separate things there, Matt. I think, first of all, there's an undeniable rise in anti-Semitism in America and in attacks like the three that Larry has just outlined, the arson attempt on Josh Shapiro's home, the governor of Pennsylvania, the shooting of the two young diplomats, the two young foreign workers at the Israeli embassy less than 2 weeks ago, and now this. And it's appalling, and nobody can condone this kind of thing. And it's just shocking. These people, as Larry said, one of them a Holocaust survivor, protesting peacefully in solidarity with the hostages who are still being held, as is their absolute right. And this is, there's such an atmosphere, and I saw it just before I left the States, that the rise in fear and the rise in division and the rise in extremism, there are also a lot more Islamophobic attacks, and that should be said as well. But I think that the university thing is different, and I think that Trump has deliberately weaponized that. There is not significant evidence, and I think that the president of Harvard spoke very effectively about this. He said that there are things basically that are happening, that there may be shunning happening, where if you have an Israeli student or somebody who espouses pro-Netanyahu or Zionist views, in the college, that other people may get up and walk away from them at a table or refuse to speak with them. So there is that type of thing. That, to my mind, it may, there's always an attempt to conflate the two things. You can be very critical of Netanyahu, and you can be very critical of the current policy in Gaza, which I think is an entirely reasonable, it's hard to think how people could be otherwise, but that does not make you an anti-Semite. And what the Trump administration keeps trying to do, and Netanyahu and his ilk, is to try and conflate the two and weaponize it so that people are then afraid to criticize him for the appalling war he's prosecuting on innocent people in Gaza. So the two are very different to my mind. You can absolutely condemn what's happened, these attacks against Jewish people who have nothing to do with what Netanyahu was doing. And then, as I say, this weaponization, Trump is using this for his own purposes because he hates elite universities. So he probably wasn't let into Harvard himself. And he just wants to take down that university to instill fear in the others. It's part of his authoritarian bent and his attack on free speech.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, Marion,
no less.
You do get some of his big supporters. Say, like the billionaire fund manager, Bill Ackman, is very much supporting him on the basis, and very prominently supporting him on the basis, that these institutions like Harvard are encouraging anti-Semitism.
There's no evidence of that. There really isn't. And I would love to know what makes Bill Ackman say that. I mean, the previous president, Claudia Gay, was driven out of Harvard for allegations of plagiarism, but mainly because it was felt she didn't come down hard enough on students in the protests in the aftermath of the October 7th attacks, the atrocities that were committed by Hamas, and then Israel's response, which I think most reasonable people will agree was wildly disproportionate and violated every international law that there is. But look, if you look what's happened even in the last couple of days at NYU, a student who protested, who made a peaceful pro-Palestinian protest, was refused his diploma by NYU. Another student who spoke out who delivered a speech before, she was a valedictorian student in another university, was told that she couldn't attend her graduation because she protested Israel's conduct of the war in Palestine. Now, where in Gaza, where is the free speech there?
Okay, what do you make, Larry? And we will get back to the issue of immigrants and ICE in a second, because the individual in the Colorado attack is an Egyptian who has overstayed his tourist visa. But what do you think of what's happening now in the universities, the ongoing row between the Trump administration and Harvard, and the cowering of the other universities in the face of losing grants?
Yeah, well, I think Marion is right. I mean, I think that the anti-Semitism is a cover for what is really going on here. And what is going on here is a war on elites. And again, in the United States, things are perceived drastically differently. In middle America, Harvard bashing and Ivy League bashing is very, very popular. It's good politics for Donald Trump to do so. Every time he can get an image of a leftist protest or a protest at a university, he can characterize as leftist, involving many students who are not United States citizens. That's very, very good politics, whether we like it or not, in the United States. And that's simply what Trump is doing and will continue to do, because it goes down well with his people. And I also take Marion's point. There's probably an element of personal grievance at work here as well. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to keep going. And if we look at the numbers, my own guess is that Trump would have an awful lot of Americans with him on this front.
Okay, what about the failure of ICE to do as Stephen Miller wants, Larry Donnelly, to arrest 3,000 people per day?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is really craven stuff. Again, from anyone who cares about human rights or just basic humanity, to hear dictates like this, oftentimes violative of any sense of due process whatsoever, is really horrifying. I mean, there was just a case in my home state of a teenager on his way to volleyball practice. This young guy has been in the United States since he was 5 years old. He didn't willfully break the laws of the United States, and evidently he's a pillar of his local community, yet now he's in a jail cell. Nobody quite knows what is happening to him. This sort of stuff is happening around the United States on a daily basis, and I'm hearing it from immigration lawyers over there. And this, to me, is just a huge example of overreach. And I made the program on the program before, Matt, that people tend to oppose the illegal alien in the abstract. But when you put a human face on him, when it's like this young guy on his way to volleyball practice, then people see things a little bit differently. And that's why Miller's command and Kristi Noem and others who are saying we need to round them all up and get them out. It's really sick at many levels to me.
Marion, there's a couple of things about this. Apparently, immigration officials have almost 49,000 people in ICE custody. This is the latest government data from early May, so it's probably gone up. And it's significantly more than Congress had appropriated funding to accommodate. But on top of that, it appears that many of these people are not criminals, as has been alleged. They have done nothing wrong, either in America or in the country they came from originally. So what is going to be done, do you think, if you have Miller and Kristi Noem demanding 3,000 people a day to be arrested?
Well, you know, the numbers just don't add up. So if we take the top number here, Matt, Stephen Miller and Trump have promised that they will deport 1 million illegal aliens, or 1 million criminals, as they call them, because they like to conflate the two, by the end of this year. Now, so far, they've claimed they've deported about 140,000. Those numbers don't add up. The number that has been deported so far is much closer to 40,000. And there are things as well that mean they will never reach this number. For starters, and this is where Trump's policy is being brutally effective, the number of people who are crossing over the border illegally has absolutely plummeted. There were about 12,000 people apprehended in April, compared to about 300,000 in April last year. So it's having a real impact.
So he would classify that as a win, Marion, wouldn't he? And his supporters would say that's Americans, a success.
Yeah, and I think Americans generally would say that, because, look, America is entitled to secure borders. It is entitled. It's a country that is entitled to have secure borders. And, you know, Trump has totally destroyed the asylum process. So, you know, there's now no process where you can come in as an asylum seeker, because you're arrested anyway and treated as an illegal, you know, as a criminal effectively now, if you come in trying to seek asylum, because the process has been shredded effectively. But yes, a lot of Americans will see this as a win, and it's understandable that they would see that as a win. But what's happening now, as Larry says, is that you have about, you know, the number of undocumented migrants who commit crimes, and this has been shown over and over, is the lowest in the country, far fewer than people who are migrants who are in the country legally or US citizens. So there just aren't 11 million migrants who have committed crimes. There's a tiny fraction, so they have to go after the 18-year-old kid that Larry spoke about, the mothers with small children who are working in restaurants and whatever, you know, and that are parts of communities for decades, some of them. And it's not playing well in America generally. But these figures, so Stephen Miller is saying arrest 3,000 people a day. It's impossible to do unless you go into, as he said, 7-Elevens and Home Depots, and unless you go to factories and meat processing places where Trump's biggest donors are the people who own these places and who are relying on illegal migrants. So the whole thing, it's an absolute mess, but it's causing terrible fear and terrible cruelty. And we're seeing ICE behaving like thugs. They're going around with their masks on their faces, swooping people off the streets. And there's a whole conflation of a whole bunch of stuff. People who speak out, we saw that with the students who have all been arrested and held in detention centres because they took pro-Palestinian stances, and they're trying to deport them. They're trying to deport people who have green cards, who are here, who are in the States legally. But the fact is, they are never going to get to 1 million. They've got to 40,000 in, 4 months now. They're never going to reach 1 million by the end of the year, but they're going to cause a lot of damage and a lot of suffering trying.
Something else I want to ask you about, Larry. What do you reckon the Trump administration's take is now on the war between Russia and Ukraine, given that a week ago we were hearing that Trump was so annoyed by the increased assault by Russia, and now that we've had over the weekend an extraordinary counterattack by Ukraine?
Yeah, I think that there might be something of a plague on all your houses, perhaps, emerging from the White House, because evidently the Trump administration was not made aware that any of this was in the works. So obviously Donald Trump has been furious at Putin, and he's expressed that frustration with him, notwithstanding those who say that there's a close bond there. He also, I think, doesn't trust Zelensky, doesn't like him. And I think it comes down to something that I think is the bottom line here. Trump wants this thing over because he promised the American people he would make it end, and he wants to be able to go home and say, I ended this. Nobody else could do it. And every time there is another flare-up, another instigation, whether on either side, that goal gets further and further away from him. And perhaps the danger here ultimately is that he'll get so sick and so angry about this that he'll walk away completely. And I happen to think that for good or for ill, the United States is the only country that probably has the capacity to bring this thing to some sort of end, which won't be satisfactory for either side. But at the end of the day, we all have to hope and pray that the bloodshed stops.
One last thing, Marion McKeown. We know that Donald Trump is very strongly against the use of drugs. A large part of that is down to what happened with his brother. And this is why he's a non-drinker, and he makes such an issue about stopping the supply of many illegal drugs into the United States. How come he never noticed Elon Musk's behaviour when the time he was romping around the White House. Judging by the New York Times report over the weekend, Musk was off his face half the time because he using ketamine. How would Trump not have noticed?
Yeah, you know, this story is so shocking. And you know that the New York Times, and I know several reporters in the New York Times, they would not have run this story against the richest man in the world unless they were absolutely sure that he could not hit them back with a defamation or a libel action. You know, so you know they had that completely nailed down and that they have the receipts and they have the photos. And I've heard they have the copies of the texts as well. So this was so shocking that when you think that Musk was running rampant around Capitol Hill, by all, like on not just on ketamine, which can be prescribed under some circumstances, but on magic mushrooms and ecstasy as well. And he and his doge bags were running around Washington. They're slashing jobs, causing untold misery to people. You know, shutting down USAID, which has had catastrophic consequences for some of the poorest and sickest people in Africa and in other places. And you know, to say what you said, that all half the time he was probably off his face. Now it's insane. But if you look at some of the videos of he and Trump and some of the footage and the erratic behaviour, not least when he turned up with a black eye for his farewell tour, you know, which was such a metaphor for his entire term and for everyone who seems to get involved with Donald Trump, they waltz in, they waltz out with a black eye. Nobody other than his own family seems to actually emerge better off, you know, from their encounter. So Musk's reputation is in shreds. You know, Tesla's lost 71% of its value, but it's hard to feel sorry for him because while he fired 250,000 federal workers and, as I said, wreaked havoc on the most vulnerable people in Africa, he's still worth $100 billion more than he was when he went into the White House, which is about $1 billion a day, or give or take a few hundred million for every day he was there. But can I just pick up very quickly, Matt, on something Larry said there? What I found shocking about this was that Ukraine blindsided Trump, that he wasn't told about this massive and hugely successful attack, was the reason, clearly, Zelensky could not trust Trump. He could not trust Trump and Hegseth and Vance not to tip off Putin. And that's why he wasn't told. And that really tells you something about American politics today. And that, to me, is the clear, glaring message from that America cannot be trusted. And Trump in particular. And if I were Zelensky or any other leader of Zelensky, I'm sure they would have done exactly the same thing.
Thank you very much, Marion McCone and Larry Donnelly.
The Last Word on Today FM.